Welcome to Tech Brainstalk with your girl Flavella Fong Gang, and today I'm gonna fuel your brain with some bomb knowledge. Are you ready? Let's do it. Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tech Brainstalk. It's me, your girl Flavella, and I'm so excited on this season 4. I'm gonna keep on taking you on a journey of learning, growing, and getting excited because I always love to have great conversations with amazing, talented individuals in this space. And today we're going to be talking about how to not fail your fintech startup launch. And God knows that the financial sector right now is going through a lot of turbulence, if you can say the least. And it doesn't mean that the fintech market is not full of opportunities. And I am so lucky because I have with me Christina Midler, who's going to talk about this topic. And I'm going to ask a lot of questions. And you're also going to have the opportunity to connect with her afterwards. So if you enjoy this podcast, make sure to share it and tell the world about it. And obviously, you know, you can connect with all my guests, and they have so much, knowledge and expertise in their field. And I'm so excited to have her. So let me tell you something about Christina Midler. So Christina, it's funny because, you know, sometimes you meet somebody on social media and you don't really get an interesting desire to take it further. But with her, straight away, the first conversation, I was excited. It's like, listen, we're going to do so many things, and I want people to learn about how talented you are. And she has over 20 years of experience within the banking and fintech industry, working with brands such as Barclays, HSBC, Mizuho, Demica, and God, so many more. And she worked as well in cooperation with Tolia, Prime Revenues, and C2FO, if I can pronounce it properly. And she's now runs her own independent advisory boutique, Midler Consulting, focusing on fintechs. And God knows fintechs need some help. And especially fintech startups. The fintech community has a great impact on our day-to-day lives, and the firm proudly support them to launch their ideas, fundraise, scale up, and thrive. It's not enough to just raise some money. I think it's also about thriving and growing and scaling, which is so important. And she does this very, 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 very well. So Christina, how are you? I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, very happy to be here. It's a very exciting topic. Obviously, I'm living and breathing it day in, day out. And I'm very happy to share with the audience what I've learned on my journey and, hopefully help them to do it better themselves.
Yes, exactly. Talking about journey, I think, I know that your bio probably longer than what I just say. So can you take us on this journey? I would like to know, what led you to where you are right now? We talked about obviously the big companies that you work with, but tell us a bit more about this.
Absolutely. I've arrived in London over 20 years ago now, which seems to be a lifetime. I started as an originator in Barclays, focused on commodities trade finance. And I've been doing that for a couple of years, working with the top names within the industry. And then there came a little bit of a shift in thinking that we should probably do more with these types of customers. And the idea of supply chain finance and related technology came to front focus. And I started working with Citibank's platform, then with Prime Revenue, and then the whole journey with platforms, supply chain finance, working capital, and the whole fintech world basically opened up with that shift and that opportunity. And I naturally grabbed it with full force. It was super interesting. You could suddenly see the opportunities, how you can get your hands on a really interesting piece of technology, managing cash flows, and basically designing something that works much better with the buyers, for the suppliers, and generally managing much better your cash flows. So that led to the discovery of other fintech companies within the space. And I moved on from Barclays to other banks, and later down the line to fintech companies as well. Worked in partnerships with a number of them. And I basically went on the entire journey from building platforms with the fintechs, as well as managing the entire journey, how to onboard efficiently, how to manage the operational setup, how best to design internal processes and procedures, and obviously how to make money out of these structures along the way. Now, under my own advisory business, I'm very lucky and very excited to work with fintechs, including fintech startups, when we start with the basic idea, how a platform or an app should look like, lots of brainstorming sessions, we map out the ideas, and then obviously build it and launch it to the public. That naturally comes with requirements such as fundraising and working more efficiently with what the company already has. And this is where I come in and help and support these clients.
This is amazing. And, you know, when you think about you've always worked in finance, and I think that's what's super exciting. And obviously, you know what you're doing. And, you know, there's a situation that's happening right now in the market, you know, financial, you know, banks are collapsing and whatsoever. But we know that there's still some great opportunities for fintech to contribute to the ecosystem. And today we're going to talk about how not to fail your fintech startup launch, which is your area of expertise. So let's dive deep, you know, dive into the subject and really discuss why it's so important. And also, why do you think so many, before we actually come back to and give people answers to how not to fail, but what do you think so many fintech companies are not performing well right now?
I would probably take it from the beginning. I think at the moment, everybody recognizes the fact that working on their own or surviving and thriving in this environment on their own is not really the answer. So there are lots and lots of collaborations happening, and the banking world, as we have seen in the last couple of years, are very much open to inviting other partners to the mix and working with either established or even new fintech startups to support their proposition. So there's definitely scope and lots of opportunities to bring in that piece of puzzle in order to create a perfect solution or perfect proposition for the clients. Mm-hmm. It is very important to look at the new idea and really do the homework as a new business is launching their new proposition. Very often I meet excited founders that would like to bring in something new to the market, and little do they realize that they haven't done enough research of what already exists and cannot really answer why their own solution would be competitive or exciting for the audience. So lots and lots of brainstorming and research has to go to that stage in order to really bring something new for everyone out there, and so that it is set up for success.
Can I ask you a question, Christina? Sorry to drop you, but do you think that, you know, let's be honest, the two of us know that, but the fintech market is overly saturated. Do you think that the chance of innovating in the fintech market is still possible, or do you think that it's just about having clarity around your niche? Because I think sometimes a lot of them want to go global and so much more, but is it really having clarity around your niche and what expertise do you provide and how can you adapt? What do you think to that?
So going global is already the scale-up stage. However, there is always space to bring something new. The technology is evolving, so upgrading the technology that we currently work with definitely offers opportunities. I would never say never. There are always ways to improve, whether that's the speed of it, user experience, or other functionality that can be added to the technical platform or the app. So there are definitely ways how something new or something better or easier can be introduced. So I would definitely not shut it down. It is saturated for sure, but there is always scope to bring something new.
Correct. And so my question to you, as you know, the consultant for fintech companies, what do you think are the opportunities right now that probably a lot of fintech startups haven't yet tapped into?
I personally think that we definitely haven't tapped into everything yet. Just, you know, from the top of my head, for instance, Africa is significantly underbanked. Mm-hmm. So payment solutions that can support this region would definitely be a winner. And I think going forward, we will see more of that coming. how to do it quickly, safely, with exchange rates that are interesting. So mainly these types of propositions. I also think that a lot of companies are struggling with the onboarding part, adding basically clients onto their platform or an app. So somebody that taps onto those types of solutions and brings in a good idea how to do that is definitely going to win over the majorities. Whether that's biometrics or connecting easier to different registrars, etc., for those things, and so on. So it's that onboarding part, I think, that is also not fully resolved at the moment. Just a couple ideas.
Yes, people listening to us right now, I think they're taking some notes and some opportunities. And I agree with you when it comes to the African market, which is still the youngest and fast growing, continent. There's definitely a lot of opportunities. I'll tell you a personal story. My friend was in Nigeria, a few weeks ago, and trying to withdraw money in the bank was almost impossible. They ran out of cash, as they created a new distributed new money. The banks were just closing. So again, it really showcased that there's definitely a need for more digital transaction than just physical transaction. Right, we're going to talk about the subject. This is what we're here for, which is about how not to fail your fintech startup launch. So I would love, Christina, if you can give us, people love step-by-steps, if you can give us a step-by-steps in terms of how not to fail your fintech startup launch.
Absolutely. I myself am always working very systematically when it comes to these things, mapping out the proposition, understanding details, and all of those things are absolutely critical and crucial for success. So I would say, if somebody has a new idea, first research if anyone else is doing something similar or exactly the same as what you had in mind. Understand their strengths, understand their weaknesses, and also compare with yours. Why should the customer come to you? What can you offer? Who exactly is your customer? Who are you targeting this this platform or an app to? Once there is clarity in terms of who we are trying to work towards, who is our target audience, very happy to sit down with the co-founders or founders of the businesses and really brainstorm in terms of functionality, how exactly should it look like, obviously map it out, understand how the flows goes, what notifications should the system issue, setups, users, security around it, and so on. The next step would be then to connect the idea with the tech team, who will then manage the process from the build side, meaning step-by-step process, how exactly is the build going to flow, touch points, checkpoints, testing of the application, and the outcome of that would be a minimum viable product. That should be a solution that is ready to launch to the market. It doesn't have to be 100% ready with all the functionality that the business had in mind, but it should be good enough and exciting enough to bring to the market and introduce themselves with that. Obviously, very critical is at that point the whole marketing and branding and capturing the attention of the masses. And that's where obviously experts in branding and marketing and social media influencers can come in and help basically spread the word about the new platform or an app.
I love what you say, and I think I'm just going to repeat this point, which is actually as important as well when you build a brand. So always research in terms of how you can position your business. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs make that assumption a lot, and I say that, yeah, everybody's going to love my idea. Test it like crazy. You can avoid, I recently posted some content around how you can actually test your idea for building a mailing list. you know, and I love the example of Monzo. Monzo did such a fantastic job when they launched their fintech startups. Well, if you're interested, and they gamified it so well, in a point that you know that if you have 100,000 of people waiting for you to launch your app, you definitely have a good product. And it's such a good way as well to really put yourself in front of investor. If you're looking for this investment or angel investment whatsoever, don't come empty-handed. You come to this situation, you come to the table with a fair advantage, so you're not giving away too many equity. And I think that's one thing that also founders may do, give away equity too soon. So yes, and I love it as well. You say brainstorm, have a conversation with the founders. And I will add to that as well, Christina, to just go a bit deeper to really understand, you know, the idea of, and I remember the first time when I went to Dublin, I'm a curious person by nature. So I went to Dublin and I went to Guinness. I don't drink Guinness, but I just thought I have to go. It's part of, you know, it's part of the culture.
It's a must there.
Yeah. It's amazing, right? And if you've been, it's great. And on the floor, as soon as you arrive, you go over this escalator and you have this 100-year vision that the founder made. And I think it's so beautiful to have clarity in terms of the end in mind. Are you planning to create, obviously, if you are a scale-up, you're planning to sell it at some point, you're planning to, you know, how far are you going with this product? And it's so key. And if you don't have clarity and you can't communicate that with you towards your team, they're not going to be able to first build on the right structure, which is really key. If you, you know, create the right architecture, also part of that, and then obviously develop a great process. And it makes it so much easier then for a team like ours in the agency to be able to then take your brand to the next level, the branding, the marketing, and so much more. I want to come back to the MVP. I consider the MVP also very key in really understanding what is essential, what are the features that are essential in that phase. How do you advise your fintech startups in terms of developing the MVP? Can you go a bit deeper, especially in that phase?
Yes, absolutely. I think the key thing to understand whether they've got the right features is to think about what is the problem that this app or platform is going to address. Understand the feedback from the market, speak to potential clients, have maybe a friendly first customer that's going to try it out for you and give their honest opinion. Because sometimes what happens is that the business starts developing a tech solution. They think it's so amazing. They think that everybody will have to love it. They launch it and then they're surprised that there is not much of a response to it. So the outcome here, or the idea is basically to think about why am I bringing this to the rest of the communities, right? What problem am I addressing? What problem am I trying to solve here? And listen, is this interesting for the audience? Would they welcome maybe something different in terms of a user experience, in terms of functionality, in terms of speed, reports, notifications, and so on? So this is very important that there is some kind of an interaction between the business and the outside of it, so that they can basically incorporate that into the solution and take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so key. Can I ask you deeper questions? And I'm pushing myself as a fintech startup. Is there a number of features that is a good number of features which is sufficient? What is too much and what is not enough?
I think the simple solution always works. There's really no need to overdo it. It needs to be basically user-friendly, intuitive. It needs to do the job, because there is nothing worse when you have an application and it keeps breaking. So it needs to be workable. It's better always to do something simple with some basic functions in terms of, let's say, sending money, receiving notifications, reports in terms of what transactions have I done, etc. Just as a very basic example, rather than overdo it, and those things are basically not stable enough, they keep breaking, they will receive numerous complaints from the customers. Because at the same time, people also talk, and they will spread this kind of feedback and experience between themselves. And then that's obviously not the best way to start it all off.
Absolutely. And people sometimes don't give you more than one chance. If you don't like it, I have a number of apps that I've downloaded that I've actually haven't been more than once just because it didn't work. I still haven't even just moved it. So yes, the number of downloads are great, but if actually people are not using your app, means that there's something that is not working. And again, same thing, give me a case, I would say, means keep it super simple in terms of how you want to launch this product. Sometimes overdoing it just complicated. And again, same thing, make sure that you launch something that is user-friendly, UX, UI, which is super key. If it's not appealing, people don't like it, they're definitely not going to use it. This is the end of part one of this podcast episode with Christina. I'll be back in a couple of seconds.
You are listening to Tech Brains Talk, a conversation on the strategy of becoming a remarkable individual and creating iconic tech brands. Your host is Flavilla Fongang, author, speaker, and founder of Three Colors Rule, a creative branding and marketing agency for tech companies. For more information, go to threecolorsrule.com. If you found this podcast helpful, please help us by telling your friends and rating us a 5 stars on iTunes. Thank you. Now, back to where we left it off.
And we are back for part two, and I had such a great time. I don't know for you, but I really enjoyed my first part with Christina. I don't know for you, Christina, as well. It went really, really fast. We're back, and we still are here to give you as much amazing knowledge for you to grow your fintech startup successfully. And it's so important. Remember, do not underestimate, do not make any assumptions. You were here to help you succeed, whether from a technical and strategic aspect or whether from a branding and marketing aspect. That's why we do what we do. But, you know, I love to talk to entrepreneurs, I always like to ask them questions about their own personal journey. You know, let's talk about your journey, Christina. What led you really to create your business? We talked a little bit more, but I'd like to know your ha-ha moment. It was like, enough, I'm doing my own thing.
I don't think my aha moment is probably the same as yours was. Mine was basically the end of a journey when the fintech company that I worked for went into liquidation. And I found myself basically on an open field, which could have led to either a permanent role or take the opportunity and establish my own business, which I was obviously thinking about for a while before that anyway. So I guess, you know, I'm just making a really good lemonade out of the lemons that I was given.
I love that. Yeah, you have to find a way to see the silver lining in every situation. I say that to people all the time. And, you know, looking at your journey working with fintechs, and what has been some of your biggest learnings as, you know, as being on the other side, but also looking at yourself as well and your business?
Obviously, you never get it 100% right the first time when it comes to every single aspect. I mean, I've studied business and trade and management at universities, and, you know, there are degrees that speak about that. But real life is very, very different. Obviously, the market is changing. You're in a different geography, and you just need to work it out under the circumstances that you are given. For me, what I've learned is to define very well the proposition. What are the services that I'm really offering to my clients? I've also arrived at the conclusion that being niche and very specific with what I can help with is probably the best way to go. It's also important to say no to things which do not quite fit within that definition that I decided to go with. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, not right now or not at all. The other takeaway that I also had was to really think about how can you make money out of what you're proposing. So what is the value that you're bringing to the customer? What is it that really helps them? What is it that makes them say, yes, definitely, I would love to work with you rather than someone else? So I guess these were probably the key takeaways. And then obviously building a reputation, because there's nothing better than a word of mouth when somebody recommends you to their colleagues or passes on the good experience when they worked with you.
Yeah, I kind of agree enough. I think this is what you say, you know, there's so much power in being niche and being an expert instead of being a jack of all trades. And, you know, when you're a jack of all trades, you lose yourself in the process. And I also emphasize, and you say as well, like understanding the value that you bring to the table also will help you actually also in terms of pricing, which is super, super key. And, you know, don't be afraid. And I think that's one thing that I say a lot of time. Don't be afraid to say no. You don't have to say direct no. You can find lots of great excuses to say no. And I think that's so important just for your sanity. And we know how difficult it is, you know, running a business. But at the same time, if you do what you enjoy, the journey of it should be so great, right? And I think that's one thing that, you know, you've showcased and demonstrated. And it's why, you know, we are talking right now, because I was looking for someone who was an expert in fintech, and, you know, makes it so much easier when I can find someone. But at the same time, you know, the journey, and that's, I would love to take your point of view on, you know, the whole situation right now where, you know, the market, we're in a recession, a lot of things are collapsing. You know, what kind of words of hope can we give to fintech startups right now, thinking like, is this the right time for me to launch this business? What kind of good words can we give them?
It is difficult out there indeed. So it's not the easiest environment to work in at the moment, that's for sure. I suppose I would strongly suggest a little bit of a self-review for businesses, to understand what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, do a little bit of a health check and to see how they can work better with what they currently have. Are they operating, at the highest efficiency when it comes to their internal processes, procedures? Do they use the right kind of technology? Can they upgrade something? Can they probably make some of it a little bit leaner? And also potentially working together, the partnerships, collaborations, cooperations on different levels, finding another business that complements what they do as well. I think, you know, the synergies definitely are going to take them through this difficult period of time.
Absolutely. And how much do you think, or what do you think, should I say, branding and marketing plays a role in the success of a fintech company?
Massively, absolutely massively adds to the value, because obviously everyone will go to those businesses that they have heard of, that people are using, that people have very positive feedback for. So, and this can only be achieved when the business is also promoting their solutions, their idea on the social media. They have set up the best possible marketing strategy when they have a clear branding, what they're offering, and so on. So that plays a massive role. Being, you know, active, being present, being represented when it comes to events, being part of the panel to share their ideas, opinions. It's incredibly important. So I think this is something that should definitely not be underestimated.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Obviously, this is what I do. Definitely going to agree with you.
Doing it very well.
I talk about branding, especially I think marketing is, everybody knows marketing is important, but people really underestimate the power of branding. A number of times, you know, this is our job, obviously, we spend enough time in building brand before we even touch marketing, because, you know, it's so important in terms of setting yourself and your importance in developing a brand people can just trust and build that credibility from the start. And then the rest just follows. The marketing becomes so much easier. You spend less on your budget, and so much, especially now, you know, every marketer will tell you that the budget has been really shrank, and therefore they have to do so much more with far less. Hence why your brand is so key. I have two more questions I want to ask you, Christina, and I really enjoy the time we spent together. Is there something that you wish, you know, you knew sooner as a business, as a CEO?
I think I probably would have wanted to speak with founders of companies that have started something from scratch to really tell me, you know, how to avoid some of the mistakes maybe that I have made, or maybe how to go about certain things a bit easier, and look at more options in terms of, you know, what everything needs to happen when you're launching something from the very, very beginning. So those kinds of conversations, those lessons learned, and people speaking very openly about also what didn't work, because very often you hear a success story and you think, oh my God, this person had it all figured out and it was a smooth ride and it was amazing. And, you know, then you find yourself in a position where you see that it's not all that easy. You have questions. Where is best to find answers? So I probably would have wished for more of an interaction with these founders. And this is where I thought that networking and being part of various fintech communities and having these conversations is particularly important. And I spent a lot of time basically doing this to make sure that I keep myself up to date now.
I cannot agree more. I think you're so right in terms of how important it is to really be, you know, having conversation about failure. And it's so, you know, demonized that nobody should fail. Like, you know, that journey to where I am right now, God knows how many businesses I created that didn't work. And, you know, people don't talk enough about that. And you're right, you know, and be comfortable with this. And this is probably what I like about the American market. They actually love people who failed and can tell the journey. And you know, and companies are not afraid to reinvest, to invest again in failures. If you look at companies such as WeWork, you know, people are still surprised, how come did he get managed to get money where others can't even get, you know, a penny whatsoever. There's a journey towards this, and I think it's so important that you mentioned this. And, you know, you don't have to be by yourself in that journey as a fintech founder. Find your tribe, find your community, and have conversation ongoing, because there's so much you can learn about just sharing what you're trying to build with the right people will really help you get there, and that's so key. Last question, and my favorite question, which is about legacy. If well, for you, I hope tomorrow is not your last day, but how would you like to remember, and what legacy would you like to leave behind, Christina?
You have partly tapped on that, actually, that, you know, once you arrive at a more stable position where you feel that your business is already going well, you're working on the types of deals and projects that you have always wanted to, you've got amazing clients, and, you know, you see an upward trajectory, it is very important to remember where you came from. And I therefore also spend a lot of time, you know, just speaking with businesses when they need that additional advice to make sure that, you know, they get the support and they can obviously, you know, get the proper launch, proper start, and lots of advice. So my legacy, I would like basically to be remembered as very supportive, very open, and very, very, very helpful in terms of that initial stage. And that's why I primarily work with fintech startups to make sure that they get the best possible start in their business journey.
Amazing. Christina, you've been fantastic. I'm sure people want to know more about you. Tell us where we can find you, and send us we'll share your website, login details, but what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. So there are a number of ways how to get in touch. My website is www.midlarconsulting.com. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, so please do find me under Christina Midlar. There are regular posts around different activities, different events, advice, what I'm reading, what I'm recommending. And all my contact details are there as well. Phone number as well as email, christina@midlarconsulting.com. Thank you very much.
No, thank you so much, Christina. You've been fantastic. Again, for all our listeners, you can go back and listen to this episode as many times as you want. This is there for you. And obviously, Christina is also like me. She's on LinkedIn. She spends a lot of time, like, as much as I do. But yes, probably spend more time. But yes, so thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Again, something, you know, make sure to subscribe. And yeah, reach out to us, to TechBrainsTalk team, to let us know who would you like us to interview. And that's the end of this podcast. I will see you very soon, everybody. Have a great day or great evening, whatever you're doing.